Begin the current daf Masechta Sukkah daf Mem Beis. Begin on the bottom line of Mem Aleph Mem Beis, where the Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah, which spoke about the difference in halacha regarding the first day of Sukkot and the other days of Sukkot. And that is, the Mishnah taught two halachas. That one, the Tanakhama began by saying that the first day we take the lulav even if it's on Shabbos. Now the second halacha, that which was described by Rabbi Yosi, he said that if the yomtiv of Sukkot, the first day, comes in on Shabbos. Now, if someone by mistake, erroneously, he went and he carried the lulav outside in Rosh Hashanah, which although we take the lulav, but we're supposed to bring it, as the beginning of the Mishnah said, from before Shabbos to Shul. By mistake, he went, because he was so involved and engrossed in fulfilling the mitzvah of lulav, he went and he carried it out into Rosh Hashanah, thus violating the Isra of Shabbos of Hoitzah, of transporting from one domain to another domain on Shabbos. And that basically said that the person is going to be exempt, because he was Hoitzi Bershus, which we explained that he was Hoitzi Bershus Mitzvah, he was involved in committing a mitzvah, and that's why he's exempt from the chiv of a carbon, which one is usually required when he violates the Isra of Hoitzah on Shabbos. Now, on that, the Gemara qualifies Amar Abaye. Abaye explains this. Mekhtin Atabah Memezim Adav. He says, Loi Shanu, we didn't learn this halach of Rabbi Yosi, that the individual is going to be exempt for the chiv carbon, which generally comes by violating the Isra of Hoitzah on Shabbos, Elishle Yatzabai. Only if this individual who he went and he violated by carrying the lulav outside into the street on Shabbos, if he has not yet fulfilled his chiv of yet taking the lulav, so this is before he fulfilled it, he went and he carried it out into the Rosh Hashanah, which now he fits into the category of Rabbi Yosi, where he's tarred b'mitzvah. He was involved in trying to fulfill the mitzvah, and on the way he made an error in this carrying, which was in that process violating the Isra of Shabbos. But Abaye says, if the person had already fulfilled this chiv of Netilas Lulav before he went and transported out when he carried into the Rosh Hashanah, so then he doesn't fit anymore into the category of Tav B'Dvar Mitzvah, because he's not perturbed and all busy trying to think how he's going to fulfill the mitzvah, because he has already fulfilled it, and now that he's still holding it, is chayv in such a situation. Even Rabbi Yosi would agree that he would be chayv for carrying in Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. It's only when he has not yet fulfilled it, then he's ta'a b'dvar mitzvah, he's coming to fulfill the mitzvah, and in that busyness and that perturbed state of mind that he's in, because he wants to fulfill the mitzvah, that will exempt him. But if you already fulfilled it, then carrying obviously would be chayv a carbon on Shabbos. Now, the Gemara asks on this, that what did we mean when we say Abaye is qualifying, he says that lo yatzabai, that yes, when are you going to be included in Rabbi Yosi's exemption in the Mishnah? It's only if you have not yet fulfilled it. But the question is, you cannot do haitzah, you cannot transport it from one domain to another unless if you pick it up. And therefore the Gemara's question Abaye is, hamida agbehei navigbei, but once the person picked it up just to transport it, which is what the Isra of haitzah is, he has already fulfilled this chiv of lekicha, because just by picking it up, you already took it. And yet still, we're saying that you're pater. So how do we understand what Abaye is trying to say? Rabbi Yosi says you're exempt for the Haitzah, but you have already fulfilled it. So how does Abaye say it's only if you have not fulfilled your chiv? So the Gemara gives two approaches how it's possible that one has picked it up and is in the act of transporting it, but has not yet fulfilled his chiv. Either on Abaye says kishahafchay, when the person actually turns the lulav upside down, where the upper part is on the bottom and the lower part is on the top, where the Gemara later on explains that one does not fulfill his chiv of Netilas Lulav only if it's what's called Derech Gedilasei, the way its normal growth is, which the bottom is on the bottom and top's on the top, but if you hold it upside down, then you have not fulfilled your chiv, but yet you're still carrying it on Rosh Hashanah. Another approach, Rav Amar, he says, you could even say it's not upside down, but Hacham HaEskina, what we're talking about is Kegon Sheitziyoi B'Kli, that the person transported by holding it in a vessel, he's holding it, let's say, in a cup or a bowl, whatever it is, and therefore that's not going to be considered as a netila, but you're still carrying it out into the Rosh Hashanah, and therefore you could have what Abaye is qualifying, Rabbi Yosi's exemption, only if you have not yet fulfilled your chiv, so you're tov b'dvar mitzvah, you're quickly running to shul, wherever it is that you want to go ahead and fulfill your mitzvah. Therefore, you're going to be exempt, but if you already fulfilled it, then you would be chayv. Now, the Gemara asks on Rav's interpretation, that it's talking about that it was he took it out in a kli, but Rava Huda Amar, but Rava was quoted as saying in Avlam Zayin and Medalev that lekicha de davar achar shema lekicha. He is the one that says that by taking something through another medium, it's as if you took it. So what's the difference if it's through a kli? That also should be considered as you fulfilled it already. And hence, how do we understand what Rabbi Yosi is trying to say, that you'll be exempt if just by picking it up, even through a kli, one has already fulfilled the shiv of Netilas Lulav? So the Gemara answers now, Hanimili Derech Kavod. When did Rava tell us on Daf Lamazayim et Aleph that even if you take it through a medium or something else, not actually holding the lulav in your own bare hands, that's if you take it in an honorable way. For example, you're taking a kerchief where you wrap it around and you're holding it with that. That's considered a lakicha. But if it's in a disgraceful way, in other words, it's you're holding it in a plate or something else that's not holding it in an honorable way, then even Rav would agree that that would not be considered lakicha. Hence, when you're transporting it to Rishat Ram in the Kli, you have violated Haitzah, but yet you have not yet fulfilled your Chiev of Lakicha, because that's not considered a Lakicha through the Dav Achar Derech Bezayin. And therefore, you would be exempt when Rabbi Yisi's Chiddush, because you have not yet fulfilled in your Tobit Var Mitzvah. But again, if you would actually be holding it the proper way, you would be Chayiv, because yes, you have fulfilled your Chiev the second you have picked it up. Now the Gemara continues on this Chiddush of Rabbi Yisi, that although one is violating a malacha of Shabbos, which would generally make the person chayav a chatas, but since you're tabit va mitzvah, you're going to be exempt. So on this, Amar Rav Huna says that Omer Rabbi Yisi additionally said, related to this chiddush, says that oilas ha'oif shenimtzis bein agafayim. If someone finds a bird that's an oila between the wings, now which Rashi says that means basically amongst other birds. Now the case description is talking about, if one finds an oilas ha'if, there's two types of bird offerings, one that could be in the Beis HaMikdash either as an oilo or a chatas. Now, if someone finds a bird that's an oilo, which is supposed to be totally sacrificed on the Mizbeach, that was found amongst the birds that were had malika done to them, where their head, that's the type of slaughtering that's done to the birds in the Beis HaMikdash as a carbon chatas, which was laying there by the Mizbeach. Now, sometimes the oilo and the chatas were done by the same corner. As the Mishnah explains in Masechta Zvachim, Daf Samachim Amud Aleph, that the Chatas Ha'if, the Oif that's a Chatas, was done by the southwestern corner. Now, there were three things that were done by that corner on the bottom, and there were three things that were done with that corner on the top. Now, on the bottom of the southwest corner, you had the Chatas Ha'if that was done over there, its Avodah. You had the Hagashish, things that were brought, where it says that you have to bring it to the Mizbeach, was by that corner. And Shear had done, the leftover bloods were poured in that corner. That was on the bottom of that corner. On the top of that corner was where the Nisach, the pouring of the water, which the Nisach HaMayim on Sukkot, Nisach HaYayin, which came with all the Karbanas, and the Oilas Ha'if, when there was a many in the eastern, because generally, the place of the Oilas Ha'if was done on the southeastern corner. But when there were many Kahanim standing there and doing the Malik of the Oilas Ha'if on the eastern part, so then they would come, there wasn't enough room, they would come to the western corner by the south, where that's the same corner where, that's the Chatas Ha'if is done. Now, the only difference is that the Oila is done above what's called the Chutas Sikra, which is the thread that separates the lower part of the Mizbeach and the upper part of the Mizbeach, and the Chatas was below. However, the case that Rav Huna is describing for Rabbi Yisi's case is that in this case, they were found amongst the birds because it was done in the same corner and it was found in that pile. Now, Ukesavir, this Kain thought that Chatas Ha'ifi, he thought it was a Chatas Ha'ifi because it was in the same corner. It could be it even fell down. It was in the same corner amongst all the other birds. So he thought that it was from the Chatas Ha'ifi pile, but really it was really an Oilas Ha'ifi that just happened to have done by that corner. Bachala, and then he ate it. Now, what comes out is that he committed Me'ila in Kodesh Shemaim by mistake. He meant to, he wanted to eat it because it was Chatas Ha'ifi. Really, it's Oilas Ha'ifi which has to be burned, thus committing Me'ila by misappropriating Hekdash. And that Rabbi Yisi says, Pater. There, the kohen is going to be potter from a carbon of me'ila, and that's because since it was found amongst the carbon chatois, where the eating of the carbon chatois is a mitzvah, as the pasuk in Shemos Chavtes says, "Va'ochlu oisim asher kupar behem," that we find that the actual eating of the carbon is a component of the atonement of the carbon. Hence, this fits right into Rabbi Yisi's criteria, what's called tobit var mitzvah, and therefore he's potter since he was engaged and he was tarred to fulfill the mitzvah of eating the carbon chatas, although it was really carbon oila, that was a tabat mitzvah, and therefore it's going to be part from the carbon meila. That's what Rav Huna says over in the name of Rabbi Yisi. And that the Gemara asks, my Kamash Malon, what is Rav Huna teaching us? The tabat mitzvah pater, that if someone is engaged and he makes a mistake, he commits an aver while he's trying to do a mitzvah, that it's exempt from a carbon, hainu hach. This is exactly what we learned in our Mishnah. What does Rav Huna have to say more to add on another application of this halacha when we already know the same thing from our Mishnah? So that the Gemara says, no. Ma'av de tema, I would have thought to say hasam in our Mishnah, who did tabit var mitzvah patah? There we're going to say that when you make a mistake, you commit an avera when you're on your way trying to fulfill a mitzvah, there you're going to be exempt from the carbon for the avera that you actually committed. Because there, at the end of the day, the avim mitzvah, the person that took the lulav, who he was over in the Isser of Hitzah and Shabbos, he ultimately then fulfilled his chiyum of lulav. And therefore we'll say that since you were tabed v'amitzvah and you do a mitzvah after the fact, so that will exempt you from the carbon of the Isser that you did on the way. The tabed v'amitzvah v'loy oven mitzvah. But here with the person, he made a mistake. He did it not very well trying to commit a mitzvah. But more than that, he never even ended up fulfilling a mitzvah by eating this carbon, because if it's a oila sa'if, there's no mitzvah in eating it. Actually, it's just an avera. It's supposed to be burnt on the mizbeach. Eimaloi, I would say there, one would not be exempt in this category of tabed va mitzvah, because you don't even end up fulfilling a mitzvah at the end of the day. Kamash balon, that's the chiddush Rav Huna saying that he heard from his teachers. The Rav Yisi does not differentiate whether someone is tabed va mitzvah and then does the mitzvah, or whether he's tabed va mitzvah and does not do a mitzvah. It doesn't make a difference. And that's what he's teaching with that halacha, even though here, when you end up eating this oif, this bird, that's not even a chatas, it's an oila, you're not fulfilling any mitzvah whatsoever, still his intention was to do a dvar mitzvah. Hence, his toys, which where he did a vera on the way to do a dvar mitzvah, that will exempt him from the carbon of me'ila. Now, the Gemara asks Meisvid. The Gemara asks on this from the following brisa. B'yisi Omer, again, he's the one that we're discussing, his shita, says, Hashechid es ha-tomid she'en mevukur kol chasai. If someone slaughters a carbon tomid that was not appropriately checked, and that is, carbonas have to be checked the 4 days beforehand, that we have to have that it was checked to see that it has all the criteria necessary for the carbon. Now, if someone shechs such a carbon tamid b'Shabbos on Shabbos, so then that person is chayiv chatas. He's chayiv chatas for slaughtering on Shabbos, because this is not a shechita shel mitzvah, although we're allowed to bring a carbon tamid, which we bring every single day, we bring on Shabbos too. But this is not a carbon tamid, because it's not a mitzvah, it wasn't checked, which is the criteria for the carbon tamid, and therefore it's not deicha Shabbos. And also, if it's tzarech tamid acher, now you have to bring another carbon tamid. Now, one thing that we do see is that Rabbi Yisi is the one that's saying this, that if someone's ta'abed var mitzvah, this person was trying to fulfill the mitzvah of carbon tamid, but he didn't end up doing a mitzvah, that then he's going to be chayiv, because this person is tarbin mitzvah. He wants to shech the carbon tamid that's brought on Shabbos, and he thinks that it's checked, because he's obviously not trying to do an isser, and yet still we say that the person is going to have to bring a carbon chatas for that very that he did for slaughtering on Shabbos. So we see, not like what the Gemara just said from Rav Huna, that if someone is tarbin dvar mitzvah and he doesn't do the mitzvah, actually Rebbe Yisi would hold that he is chayiv chatas. That the Gemara says, Amaleisa responded, no. Bar mina dahi. That case is an exception to the rule. The itmar Allah, because we said an explanation of that brisa, that Amr of Shmuel bar Chitai, Amr of Hamnuna Saba, Amr of Yitzchak bar Shian, Amr of Huna Amr Rav, Kagoyin, know what that case is talking about? Sheheviyoi milishka shein mebukarn. It was actually brought from the chamber of the animals that weren't even checked. In other words, this will not fit into the category of Tabed var mitzvah. And the reason is because the lambs that are in this chamber, you can't say the person has been perturbed, he was involved trying to fulfill a mitzvah, because they don't even stand to be brought as a carbon to say that the person was concerned, well, how am I going to fill it? And he's so busy and so caught up that he ends up doing that vera because he's trying to do the mitzvah. That's not true, because this chamber has nothing to do with dvar mitzvah. And they're the unchecked ones. And therefore Rashi says that even though there's another application of tabed dvar mitzvah in time, so even though, let's say, this is not the types that are tamid, but in time I'm busy, I'm trying to fill the carbon tamid, and therefore maybe that should be, he says no, because this is almost like a mesid. What are you thinking? How could this even be a tabid var mitzvah? This is not even the right chamber in the first place. And therefore, since this person did not even bother looking in what chamber he's in, therefore that definitely does not put him into the category of tabid var mitzvah. He's almost close to a mesid, and therefore such a person definitely would be considered a regular shaygig, and the chiyuv of bringing a karmen chatas, and there was not a difficulty in Rav Huna. Actually, you do not have to fulfill a mitzvah, but you have to be at least a tabed var mitzvah. In such a case, if you're going to the wrong chamber, that's not considered that you were tabed var mitzvah. And that's where you're going to be chayiv chatas. Now the Gemara continues with the next mission. Again, continuing on the theme of these last two parakim of the dal minim of the mitzvah of lulav. So the mission tells us, mekabeles isha miyad bina u'miyad baila. The woman, the wife, can accept the lulav from her son and from her husband, their lulavim, which the chiddush is, and we do not say that she wouldn't be able to move it because for her it has no utility, and therefore maybe it would be considered muktzah. As the Gemara will explain, we do not consider it muktzah for the woman. And additionally, umachzirasi l'mayim b'Shabbos, she's allowed to put it back into water on Shabbos so that it doesn't wilt, as Rabbeinu Chananel explains, and we do not make a gzeira that maybe we should say that if we're going to allow you putting the lulav in water and the hadassim, all the different things that we might come to water plants, we don't say that, and we allow you to put it back into water. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says, actually, says that there's three different categories regarding putting the lulav into water, depending when it is. So he says, b'Shabbos machzir. On Shabbos, you're allowed to put the lulav back into water where you had taken it from that today. However, you cannot add any water, and most definitely you can't switch to water to pour out the ones you have and to put in new waters that are cold and fresh, because that would be considered being matriach, going through an extra exertion for what's called liskunimana, to be fixing something, which is not allowed on Shabbos. But yamtiv, masifin, yamtiv is somewhere in the middle, that you don't have to just put it back in the water that you had. You could add fresh water. Ubamayid, however, chalosh amayid, there machlifin, you actually could change. Actually, it's a mitzvah to change the water so that you keep the lulav fresh. Now, the Mishnah concludes by saying that kadin hayadei l'nanea, a miner that knows how to wave the appropriate wavings for the lulav, he's chayav b'lulav, there's an obligation of chinuch for that child in the mitzvah of lulav. Now, the Gemara asks on the first item that was mentioned in the Mishnah, that we said that the woman could take the lulav from her husband or from her son and then put it back into the water. The Gemara's Peshitta, I mean, it's pretty obvious. Why would we think the woman can't hold the lulav on Sukkos? So that the Gemara says, Ma, that him, I would have thought to say, since the woman is not obligated in lulav, I should say that she's not allowed to accept to hold on to the lulav, because for her, it's like an Isra of Muktzah, it has no utility. Just like regular branches of a tree, you can't hold on your Shabbos or Yom Tov because it has no utility. It's only if you designate it as utility, you use the rock as a doorstopper. Now here, for her it doesn't have any utility. For her, it should be mukta. For the husband and the son, they use it. That for them, it shouldn't be mukta, but she wouldn't be able to hold it. Kamash Malan, that's the Chiddush our Mishnah is teaching us, that no, since for men, it does have utility, so we already consider it as a utensil, as a usable item, and therefore everyone's allowed to move it. It doesn't have to be for her that she uses it. As long as people use it, for her, it's also not mukta, and therefore she could take it. Now the Mishnah concluded by saying, Kadin hayadei l'nanea, a miner that knows how to shake the lulav, for him there's a mitzvah to take the lulav. So the Gemara says, Tarabon, we learned in the Brice, and the Gemara goes through many different mitzvahs, or many different dinim that are applied when the child knows already that arena. So the Brice says, Kadin hayadei l'nanea, the halacha of our Mishnah, a miner that knows how to shake the lulav, chayv lulav, he's obligated in the mitzvah of lulav, which is the mitzvah of chinuch medirabanan, that there's a mitzvah of chinuch when the child reaches that age, when he could already start implementing that halacha with all its behavioral and all the different technical components of the mitzvah. Lehisatif, when he knows how to wrap himself, sechai betzitzis, then he's obligated in tzitzis. Up until he knows how to wrap, he won't be able to properly fulfill the mitzvah. But when he knows, he can fulfill all of the details, then he's chai ben tzitzis medrabbanan. Lishma tefillin, when he knows how to safeguard his tefillin, which means that he shouldn't take them into the bathroom, then avav lekech letefillin, then his father purchased for him tefillin to wear. Yudei ledab, when he knows how to talk, so avav lem deyitayr v'kriyishma, and then his father teaches him Torah and teaches him kriyishma. Now the Gemara asks, Torah mahi, what does the Braisa mean when it says that the father teaches him Torah? So Rabbi Nuna says, the pasuk in Devarim, which is the first words he started teaching his son, Torah tziv alana Moshe, the Torah Moshe Rabbeinu has commanded us, Mayrasha kilas Yaakov, it's an inheritance for the assembly of the Jewish people. Now, Kriya Shema, what do you mean when we teach the son Kriya Shema, what is that a reference to? That's a reference to Pasuk Rishon, Shema Yisrael is something that we teach children when they begin to know how to speak. Now, the Brisa continues, Hayidei Lishma Gufay. If the miner knows how to safeguard his body from coming into contact or holding or being in the same tent as somebody that's Tamei, so Oichel Na Gufay Taris, then we could eat based on his body. In other words, if Tahiris touches his body, then we're not concerned, and we can eat those items in the state of Tahara. However, not based on his hands. And that is, if his hands would touch Tyrus, then we would be concerned, because there are miners that know how to safeguard their body from Tumah, but they don't know how to safeguard their hands. Now, what does that mean? Isn't the hands part of the body? But that's because there's a specific halacha that was an added stringency of Tumah of Yadayim, which are Stam Yadayim, generally hands. There's a special gezerah that we consider them as Shnias, as secondary items of Tumah, only if they know how to safeguard even the hands. However, if someone knows how to safeguard the hands, meaning when he did already in the Tilas Yadayim, and then he doesn't touch anything that has doubtful Tameh, or to touch a safer Tyra that's Metameh Yadayim, then even if he wasn't careful, if he comes to Tyrus, he'll know how to wash his hands. Then that comes to the next halacha of Lishmes Yadav. If he knows how to even safeguard his hands, which is an added stringency in the halachas of Tyrus, then Echon Al Yadav Tyrus, then we could even eat the Tyrus, even if it touches his hands. Now, Hayidei Lishoyel, a miner that knows how to be asked, which means to say that if they ask him, did you touch something that's tame or not, he'll know how to say yes or no, or I don't know. then the halacha is b'shus hayachid sveikay tame. In a private domain, then the doubt is tame. Now that's because the halachas of tuma are learned out from the halachas that apply to a saita, which a saita is the suspected adulterous woman, where she is obviously someone that knows how to be asked if she had done something inappropriate. And that obviously would depend on the tumah that comes to a saita, is because they were in a concealed area, which is the domain of Rosh HaSayachid, as Gemara explains in Masech the Saita of Chav Chasim and Aleph. So therefore, if this suffix, which means to say, if they asked a child and he says, I don't know, did I touch tumah or not? If that was in the Rosh HaSayachid, in the private domain, that suffix is going to be tumah, which is the halacha generally for tahiris, which we learn out from saita. Which the tumah that applies to a suffix by a saita is only because they were secluded in the private area of Rosh HaSayachid. B'shus Aram, Sveikat Tumah. However, if that doubt was in Rosh HaSayachid, which means to say that they were in this doubtful encounter with the child and the tumah was in the Rosh HaSayachid, and he's not sure, that suffix is going to be tar, but it has to be that he could be asked a question, he'll know how to respond, yes, no, or I don't know, because that's the criteria of this halacha of Yudei Lishael, which we learn out from the halachas of saita. Barisa continues, Hayadeya Lifris Kapov, a mind that knows how to stretch out his hands, meaning when he's inclined to do Nasias Kapayim, then Cholkin Le Truma Bebes HaGranas, then we could already apportion to him the Truma that he gets as a Kayin by the granary, by the place where they do all the threshing. And the reason is because before that, before he does Nasias Kapayim, then they don't give him his Chelik and Truma by the Bebes HaGranas. Rather, what they do is they actually send it to his house. If he knows how to be shomer b'tahara, if he doesn't know how to safeguard in tahara, then we don't give him truma at all. Because as the Gemara learns in Masechtas Yevamos, Daf Tzadik Tasim Beis, there are 10 types of people that we do not give them out the truma by the Beis HaGranos, which are chere, shaita, and the cotton, which is the case that we're talking about. And all these types, they send it to their homes, but not by the Beis HaGranos, because it would be a bazillion for the truma, because whoever sees that they're giving it to a minor doesn't know that he's a baki, that he's proficient in safeguarding it. But we're allowed to send it to their home if they actually are baki, and we recognize that they're shomer b'tahara. It's just that we don't do it by in front of everybody because people would be suspected and saying, well, how are you giving it to a little kid? Now, however, once he is yodea lifris kapov and he doesn't see his kapayim in the tzibur, in the shul, so everybody knows, obviously, that he's an adult, that he brought two sa'iris, because a katan, a minor, is not pyrus kapov. As the Gemara says, Masechtas Megillah Chavdal Amud Aleph, and therefore this is a sign that he's already an adult, and that's why we'll go ahead and give him his chelik of truma by the Beis HaGranos, because now everyone knows he's an adult and he knows how to be shomer his truma b'tahara. Bresa continues in Amud Beis, Hayadeya Lishchet. If a minor knows how to slaughter, that means he knows how to manipulate his hands in a way to slaughter properly, even if he's not proficient in the halachas of shechita. Then oichem mishchita, so we could eat from his slaughtering, as the Gemara explains in the name of Rav Huna, the name of Rav Huna, but that is v'husha gadol emin al gabav. That's only if there's an adult overlooking and seeing by the minor to make sure he's doing the halachas properly, which specifically that he's not shaha, he doesn't take too long of going down, which could make the animal treif, and he's not daris, he doesn't push down. There has to be a certain way that the hand goes during slaughtering, and as long as there's an adult overlooking, if the minor knows how to do it, then we could eat from his shchita. The Brassic continues, Yachal Lechel Kazayis Dagan. If this child can already eat an olive size amount of grain, which all five types are called Dagan, which are wheat, barley, rye, oats, and spelt. So if the miner can already eat a Kazayis of grain, they're Machikin Mitzayasoy Umimi Ragav. Then one has to distance himself from the feces and from the urine, which is because once the miner eats a Kazayis from this in any form whatsoever, then his excrement will have a foul odor. And therefore, one has to distance themselves from that arba ames, four ames, when they want to say dvarm shebekdusha, like kriyish ma'atvila, because then it has a putrid smell, has a foul odor, and therefore one has to be dalet ames away. But when the child is less than that, then if they didn't eat grain yet, then their tzayit doesn't have that type of halacha to require four ames away. Now, Amar Rav Chizr, however, qualifies this. He says, but v'hu sheyachal oichle, this is only if the miner can eat this olive size of grain, b'chdei achilas pras, in the time span of how a normal person would eat pras. Now, the term pras actually means half. What that is a reference to is the half a loaf which the Chachamim use in requiring the shear of an Erev, and that is when one wants to make an Erev Tchumen. they have to put out 2 meals worth, which is what's necessary for Shabbos to consider that area as your halachic Shabbos residence, that loaf of bread will be 2 meals worth. Half of that is really 1 meal's worth, as the Mishnah in Masechet Erev in the Daf Pei Beis and Mabez explains, that half of this loaf is the halacha that's required for the Beis HaMenuga, and that if someone comes into a house that has a nega, his clothing is going to require to be washed, because the pasuk requires that in the amount of time that it takes to eat. As the pasuk says, "V'yikra yudalad va'oichel b'bayis," which the Gemara there learns doesn't actually mean that if you eat, but if you spend the time in the house that it takes to eat, then you chabas b'gad, then you have to wash your clothing. So what we're talking about over here is that if the minor could eat that amount of a zayis in the time span, how long a regular person will eat a half a loaf of bread, which is really 1 meal's worth of bread, then we'll consider his tzaya as this foul odor that you have to be dalet amos away. However, if the minor needs a long time, he can eat a kezayis of dagan, but it takes him a long time to eat it, then it's like he's eating a half of an olive's worth today and a half of an olive's worth tomorrow, because that is the halacha l'Mishmei Sinai, that the eatings do not combine if it takes that long. If you can eat it within a time frame that there's different in the Paiskim, if it's up to 9 minutes, which is the time that it would take a normal person to eat that amount, if the child could eat a zayis in that time span, that would be considered the halacha of this, that it's considered the tzaya that one has to be dalaramas away. Now, Amar Rav Chiya Bered Rav Yeva, he says, however, ubegadol, regarding an adult, afapi she'inu yochel lechol b'chdei echel is pras. His tzaya, one does have to stay dalaram away, even though for some reason, whatever his condition is, he cannot eat a zayis in that time span b'chdei echel is pras. And the reason is because, like I said, the pasuk in Keheles, the yesiv das, if someone increases knowledge, which this is a reference to the gadol, to the adult who is older and knows more, yesiv machiv, which although the general translation is, will increase pain, in this context, as Rashi translates, it will increase the smell. And therefore, even though he can't even eat that amount, in that time span, for the gadol, even less than that will be considered that it has a bad smell, and therefore one has to be dalet amos away from such a tzaya. Brisa continues, yochel lechel kesayis tzli, if the minor could eat as an olive's worth of roasted meat, then sheichten lo v'sa pesach, then they could slaughter for him the carbon pesach. I mean, they can include him on the bnei achabur, but if not, he cannot be included. Shneim, like it says, a pasuk in Shemais, ish lefi achle, every man according to how much they could eat, then tochesu, then we slaughter it, which means he has to be someone that's fit to eat, and therefore only if he could eat his eyes could he be counted amongst the members of the bnei achabur. B'hudai, he argues, he says, at sheyochel levar achila, it's only that we can consider him as part of the group if he can choose what's food. Ketzah, what does that mean? Nosenle tzror v'zerke, if you give him a rock, he'll throw it away. Eggos v'naitle, but if you give him a nut, he'll eat it. So many times children that are younger than that, they'll just put whatever is in their mouth. That, Rabbi Huda holds, is the criteria for defining if he's going to be fit to be considered ishlafi achlai, if he knows how to choose food. If he knows how to choose food, then he could be counted. If not, then not. Hanulach Lulav HaGazel, we shall return to you the third parak in Masechta Sukkah, parak Lulav HaGazel, and with that, we begin the fourth parak, parak Lulav HaRava, which begins with the different times for different mitzvahs that come on the Yom Tov of Sukkot. So the Mishnah begins, Lulav HaRava, regarding the Lulav and the willows, which in the Beis HaMikdash, both these mitzvahs were done for 7 days. The Lulav were for what's called Netilas Lulav, and the Rava, which was its own distinct mitzvah, which was lahakif hamizbech, to go around the mizbech, as the Gemara will later on learn the source for this on the Mem Hei Amid Aleph. So regarding these two mitzvahs that are done in the Beis HaMikdash, shisha v'shiva. Now what that means is that sometimes the mitzvah of lulav, which is its own halachic discussion, and the Rava were deicha Shabbos, hence they were done for all 7 days in the Beis HaMikdash, and sometimes they were not, and therefore then there would be only 6 days, as the Mishnah, and then the Gemara later on will explain. Halal, regarding what's called to complete the halal, because sometimes we say halal and we don't say the whole, we're medalig. However, regarding completing the halal, that's for all 8 days of Sukkot, as the original prophets had instituted. And the Gemara in the Erech and Daf Yud and Aleph explains now what's the difference between Sukkot and Pesach, that we're not goymer sahal, all the days of Pesach, because the days of the Yom Tov Sukkot, each day has differences, discrepancies in their karbanos, and therefore they're all distinct and unique, and therefore each day we're going to reza hal, which is not the case by Pesach. So regarding the reciting of hal, of completing the hal, the hasimcha, and rejoicing on Sukkot, which means to eat the meat of a carbon shlamim, as the Gemara Masechet Pesachim, Daf Kaf Tes, and Alpha explains, that at the time when the Beis HaMikdash is still around, ein simcha el b'basar. The only rejoicing is with meat, like it says in the Pasuk, v'zavachta shlamim, you will slaughter shlamim, v'achalta shlamim, you'll eat it there, b'samachta, and you'll rejoice. Now, although that Pasuk actually is not talking about Yom Tovim, it's actually talking about by Har Grizim and Har Evil, but since by Yom Tovim it says simcha, as I said, v'samachta b'chagecha, we learn that what is simcha? Simcha is done, as that Pasuk says, with meat. And therefore, these two mitzvahs of Hal and Simcha, the Mishnah tells us, Shemayna, therefore all 8 days of the Yom of a Sukkah. Now, Sukkah, regarding the mitzvah of sitting in the Sukkah, the Nisach HaMayim, and the pouring of the water libations, which were done with the carbon tamid every day of the Yom of a Sukkah in the morning, not in the evening, as the Gemara explains in Sechles Yuma and the Chavav HaMabez, they were done, Shiva, they were done for the 7 days of Sukkah. Now, the Mishnah continues, HaChalil, the flute, which that's in context of the Simchas Beis HaSheiva, which literally means the rejoicing of the house of the drawing, which means they would rejoice on the Yom Tov Sukkot for the honor, which only comes on the Yom Tov Sukkot, by the drawing of the pouring of the water. And then they would play with the flutes and the harps. Now, that playing on the flute is not Teicha Yom Tov, and therefore, Chamisha. Sometimes the playing of the flute will be for 5 days of the Yom Tov Sukkot. And that would be, for example, if let's say that the first day of the Yom Tov Sukkot does not come out on Shabbos. Now, since we, as we just explained, that playing the flute does not push away the Isser of Yom Tov, now most definitely it's not going to push away the Isser of Shabbos, which is going to come out on Chol HaMoed if they're not the same day, the first day of Yom Tov and Shabbos. So then you're left with 5 days left to play. Now, sometimes Vishisha, sometimes it's going to be 6 days. For example, if let's say the first day of Yom Tov fell out on Shabbos, where then you left with the 6 days of Chol HaMoed, which then you're allowed to play the flute, which in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't have a second day of Yom Tov, so then you would have 6 days to play the flute. So now the Mishnah explains, regarding the first case that it began the Mishnah with, that it said that Lulav Arava, which the first case is Lulav, sometimes it's going to be 6 days, sometimes it's going to be 7 days. So the Mishnah explains, Lulav Shiva Ketza, what is the case of when you're going to be taking the Lulav for all 7 days in the Beis HaMikdash? So the Mishnah explains, Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag Shechalis B'Shabbos. If let's say the first day of the Yom Tov Sukkot is the same day it comes out on Shabbos, then Lulav Shiva, then the mitzvah of Lulav will be taken for 7 days, because as will be explained, the first day of Yom Tov Sukkot is Day Cheshabbos. However, B'Shar Kal Yomim, if let's say the first day of Yom Tov comes out on a weekday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, which then comes out that Shabbos will not be on the first day of Yom Tov, which is Day Cheshabbos, it's going to come out of Chol HaMoed, then the mitzvah of Lulav will not be Day Cheshabbos. Now, although really all 7 days are Min HaTorah to take the Lulav in the Beis HaMikdash, it's still not going to be Deicha Shabbos, as we will explain the reason for this. Now the Mishnah continues, Arava Shiva Ketza. Now how do we have taking the willow for all 7 days, as we said that sometimes Lulav and Arava will be 6, sometimes 7. When is it that the Arava, which is they go around the Mizbeach, Lahakaves Mizbeach will be for 7 days? And that the Mishnah says, Yom HaShvi'i Shal Arava, if the 7th day of taking the Aravas, Shechalis B'Shabbos, if that comes out on Shabbos, then Arava Shiva. Then the willows will be taken for 7 days. Now the Gemara will explain why is the 7th day more unique than the rest, that only then will it be Deicha Shabbos. Because whereas B'Shar Kal Yomim, if the 7th day of taking the Arava, which is the 7th day of Sukkot, if that comes out on a different day, not on Shabbos, then Shisha, then we'll only take it for 6 days, because whatever other day it is that does come out on Shabbos will not be Deicha Shabbos. Now the Mishnah explains further that Mitzvah Lulav, the Mitzvah of Lulav, in the case that we're discussing, when the first day of Yom Tov comes out on Shabbos, Ketzat, what's the practical application? How do they go ahead and do this? Because we said that will be Deichet Shabbos, but what is it what they do? So the Mishnah explains that Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag Shechalis B'Shabbos, regarding the first day of the Yom Tov Sukkot that comes out on Shabbos, Melichin Es Luvein Laharbais, they would first transport the Lulav to the Temple Mount from before Shabbos. As we said, it's not going to be Deichet Hitzah, you can't carry out on Shabbos, but still we take the Lulav on the first day. So they would first bring the Lulav and the Harbais, the Chazanin, and then the attendants, those who were the Shamashim, they would take care of the needs of the public in the Beis HaMikdash, Mekabel Mehen, they would receive the people's Lulavim from before Yom Tov, V'Soydrin Oysen Al-Gabi Itzdav, and then they would organize it, they would put in order on top of the benches, and that is the width of the Harbais. The perimeter was surrounded with these benches for people to sit there, and they were covered on top because of, in case of rain, so that's where they would put their lulavim. Now, however, Hazakenim, the elderly people, they were afraid that tomorrow, on the first day of Yom Tov, that everyone's going to be pushing and everyone's going to get squashed by the masses, where everyone's grabbing their lulav, manichan eshalahem belishka. Theirs they would put in a different area in the chamber so that they wouldn't have to grab with everyone else by the benches. Umalamdin. However, Bezdin would teach Oysam, they would teach everybody, loymar, to say that just in case, koma shemegia lulavi liyade, whoever ends up getting my lulav, harehu loy b'matana, it's given to him as a gift, so that it shouldn't be by that person if he ends up mixing it up, because there's so many people and all pushing and grabbing, might take the wrong lulav. It shouldn't be considered a stolen one or a borrowed one, because on the first day of Yom Tov, you don't fulfill it, but it's not lachem. So that's what they told everyone to say, that nusach, just in case, everyone's fulfilling anyway. Now, what usually happened was, l'machar mashkim l'ban, the following morning, they would get up in the morning and they would come. V'chazan zorkin oisim lefneim, the attendants would throw the lulav in front of them. They would grab umak and ishes chaver, and everyone would be hitting everyone else trying to get to their lulav. But when Bezin saw it was coming to danger, so then they instituted that everybody should take it in their home, because of the sakana that was coming, although everyone wanted to take it in the Beis HaMikdash. However, the first day is anyways a chiyuv for everybody to take, they said everyone should take it in their home and not come to this dangerous situation.